And welcome to this week's edition of Talk of the Rock. I'm your host this week, Jared Griffin, and we're doing a news roundup edition. We do these from time to time and bring in journalists to talk about what's been going on in news over the past month, and then kind of taking a look down the road on what might be coming up in these crazy news times, and very interesting news times for sure. So with me in the studio are KMXT news reporters, Kirsten Dobroth and Dylan Samard. Welcome.
Good to be
here.
So news, yes. What have you seen over the past month? Some of the more important stories, either that you've covered or maybe that even somebody else has covered. But so when I say what has really stuck out to you over the past month, sticks to your brain?
I'm going to let Kirsten start with this one, because for me, it's hard to even think about stuff that isn't COVID right now.
Dylan's got the COVID beat, so we'll come back to the COVID beat.
Well, and I think unfortunately for every journalist in the world, everything ends up touching on the COVID beat right now. So
for sure.
But yeah, I mean, for me, obviously being here has been acquainting myself with the area. And just kind of getting to know people and know what stories are. And part of that is just, you know, listening to other stations and hearing what other reporters are doing, talking to people who, you know, are part of the community and different sources. I think I had told both of you that if anyone is coming to Alaska, Midnight Oil by Alaska Public Media should be mandatory listening. Super interesting.
So yeah, just, can you explain? Yeah.
Yes, Midnight Oil. So it's basically, it chronicles, it's a podcast put out by Alaska Public Media, and it chronicles the discovery of oil in Prudhoe Bay up until kind of the present, and how the state really got its start and got going. And really interesting for, you know, Alaska has so many niche issues that you don't find in any other part of the country. And it's a really good explainer of how those things started and how they work. And then following up on that is The Big Thaw, which is the second season of Midnight Oil from Alaska Public Media. And there's actually a whole episode about Kodiak in it. But yeah, before I came here, I listened to both of those seasons. And then since then, you know, just reading every day, that's always, I think Dylan can probably attest that as a journalist, reading and listening to what other people are doing, whether it's regional coverage or national, it's always really important to your own reporting.
Yep. I mean, everybody should read. I encourage everyone to do it as much as possible.
Reading is good.
Oh, it's like working out for your brain.
Yes.
I do stand by that analogy. You can, you know, eat right and you can go to the gym and you'll be fit, but you're only halfway there if you're not reading books. Read books. It's a pandemic. You have all the opportunity in the world.
And it's a great time to start podcasts.
Yes.
If you are looking to get into podcasts too.
I can't imagine like folding clothes or doing the dishes or any of these things without a podcast, which maybe is like a little sad, but I can't not do it anymore.
But it's constant information intake for journalists.
Yes.
And I have to say, if anyone is packing, as I did for about a month and a half before I came here, podcasts are a great way to get through it.
Yep. You have to manage it though. It's pretty easy to overstimulate yourself and get overwhelmed.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, this is the way of the journalist.
the way of the journalist. That's what we'll call this.
Yes.
This episode. So Kirsten, so what are some of the specific stories that you've been here 3-4 weeks now?
Yes.
What's popped out to you?
Well, it's always a little difficult starting a job the week of Christmas and New Year's. I found people tend to be out of the office, not as inclined to jump on the phone. So that's been just kind of getting my feet under me a little bit. But you know, I've covered the record high we had in December. I've had a lot of weather stories actually, which has been kind of funny because I got here and everybody was talking about how cold it was. So did a story just about how we unofficially have had the coldest November, We don't have data from the first 9 days of the month to confirm that, but followed by this heat wave that hit 67 by the tide gauge station. So, and that actually got picked up by the state. So that was exciting. It was in
the New York Times, the BBC picked it up, Reuters picked it up.
WAPO.
I mean, it was almost international.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's interesting. I think we were talking before we jumped on here, coming from the Mountain West, you know, smoke has become part of our summer weather patterns. And it's interesting coming here and seeing how, you know, you have one part of the state that's getting buried in snow and ice and another part of the state that is seeing temperatures near 70 in December. So it's interesting to see how the climate is changing and the variability in different parts of the country.
Yeah, it's well, I hate to say that it's just getting more and more extreme year after year. That's probably beyond my ability to assess, but it certainly feels like it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm certainly living myself through more and more severe and unusual weather patterns, whether, you know, it's my mom telling me about this incredible heat wave they're having in the Seattle area or here where it hits like 67 and we have like the coldest November ever. Right. I mean,
and it looks like we're going to have a really wet January, like rain wet.
Yes, if the last week is any indication.
What about you, Dylan? What's the big story that's popped up?
Oh, let's see.
Or should we just open up the COVID can?
We don't have to open the COVID can up immediately. I did do a story on sort of the year rundown over like the stories that we had over the last year, which I should say was... it was kind of cool for me, like just going back and rereading some of my old work from you know, when I first got here to now. And there definitely have been like a lot of interesting stories. And there is sort of like... I wouldn't say that there is an arc, but there are like periods where it's like, oh yeah, I was trying to do more slice of life stuff here, and I was trying to do more like a business focused coverage in this part of the year. Mm-hmm. And certainly, of course, the coverage fluctuates more dramatically when you know, COVID would hit. I would things would change up, and I would be looking more at like, okay, how can I connect like these stories that I'm working on to people's like day to day experience living through this pandemic.
And then I'm just going to jump in. And then over the past quarter, we had to put together a quarterly a list for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And a large chunk of our stories over the past 2-3 months have been about the Coast Guard or involved the Coast Guard in some way, which is pretty remarkable. So you're talking about news fluctuations.
And, yeah. I mean, it's honestly been good. I've been trying to, I mean, the Coast Guard obviously has a huge presence here on the island. A lot of people who are retired Coast Guard or active duty Coast Guard. And we need to make sure that the news that we're putting out reflects their experience too and talks about issues that are important to them. Now we can open up the COVID can if you'd like.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
One of the big stories I've done, I think this was like 3 weeks ago, I want to say, 2 or 3 weeks ago. Or was it more? It was when the midget arrived in town, and it turned out they had a pretty sizable COVID outbreak. Mm-hmm. I didn't get this pinned down, but I think they went well past like 30 active duty or 30 active cases of members who were, you know, aboard the ship at the time. I was told that they were moved to the base for their quarantine and recovery period and then put back on the ship, and they were sent on their merry way. And that was in very early January, I want to say around the 2nd or so. But yeah, I mean, that was
when they left.
Yeah.
Early,
yeah.
That seems to be the story that, you know, we had a low number of cases here, and we would hear stories of Omicron and the waves, that the surges down south. But it was that story that was like the trigger. I mean, after that story came out, then seemed like it's here.
Yeah. I have no reason to believe that there would be any relation between between the two, but certainly
the timing was
I hate to say it, but we're kind of being hit faster and harder than other places in Alaska, which is an inverse of the trend we're normally. I mean, we've been We've been as much as like 2 months behind other COVID waves.
Yeah, in the past, yeah.
And I guess we're just really getting hit with it now. And other parts of the state do not have our level of cases yet.
Oh, right, right.
They're not, I mean, oh my, what was that? Oh, that was a pair of headphones. Excuse me.
The dog jumped.
Yeah. It's really quite interesting to see. I mean, what I've been told is to expect case counts to continue to increase, active cases to continue to increase, and that, you know, at the best, we'll be seeing a peak towards the very tip end of January, and at the worst, we'll see it continue into February. Mm-hmm. So, I guess we'll have to see.
It seems like it's a testament, too, that Omicron is just different than probably what we've encountered in the past with Delta or the original variant.
It's spreading like, well, wildfire, but
yeah. Back to the weather puns.
Back to the weather puns. At one point, and this was about a week ago, the Anchorage School District was reporting that about 1% of their staff, faculty, and student body were out with COVID. And that same day, the school district came out with their big numbers, and that came to, I think it was about 3.9%.
Wow.
Of the KIBSD staff, student, faculty were out with COVID. So you were talking about how it seems to be.
So that's another big story that was on one of the state newscasts was about the, I mean, KIBSD is really, I mean, they're getting hit pretty hard by this. They've had principals subbing in for teaching roles. I mean, they took the high school class back to online for a week while they were figuring things out. I mean, they're having trouble getting their staffing stuff to a degree where they can operate school to the degree that they're hoping to. It's pretty extreme. I mean, I did have Larry Ledoux telling me, you know, that they had, I think the quote was that they had like the principal, administrative staff, the cook, the custodian, all these different roles in the school that were just absences. They just couldn't get them in.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just the school district. We're seeing that, I mean, community wide.
Yeah. And I mean, there are a whole lot of, like, you know, restaurant and business closures that are happening lately due to staffing issues that I would imagine would probably tie into illness.
Be interesting to see if what kind of economic effects that down the line, you know, what does this bump going to look like, and how is it going to make everybody have to adjust kind of midstream, mm-hmm. Halfway through a budget year.
Yeah,
a fiscal year. So
businesses were already hurting for staff before this.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think this is also a good point back to our original part of the conversation, how important it is to read, because this is something, you know, you read from different parts of the country and different parts of the state. It's interesting to see how Kodiak compares, you know, where it's doing better, where it's maybe doing worse. And that also informs our coverage. You know, if a certain area, like what you were saying about the school district, is seeing certain mm-hmm. numbers, how are our numbers doing? What are the type of people that we can talk to? Little peek behind the curtain there, mm-hmm. how we do things.
I mean, just for example, I was reading an article in the Atlantic earlier this morning that was talking about, like, there needs to be some kind of discussion about, like, how we're defining these COVID cases, because we have all these, you know, quote unquote mild cases where people aren't ending up in the hospital, but, you know, that just means they're not ending up in the hospital. People can get really, 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 really sick and not mm-hmm. end up going to the hospital, and that needs to be accounted for when we're talking about the impact of Omicron. Mm-hmm. Just because fewer people are dying does not mean that. This is not a very serious problem for the public health infrastructure, right, and for civil society at large.
Right.
Well, and I think the New York Times has that, like, 1,600 people a day are still dying,
right,
of COVID-19, which right. needs to be brought up into the conversation, too, even though we're seeing this huge wave of people, to your point about total case numbers. It's like, we are not out of the woods yet.
And the another thing is that people are saying, oh, it's like, oh, well, you know, hospitalizations aren't up yet, maybe this is more optimistic. at any time, we're 2 or 3 weeks away from people actually getting ill enough to end up in the hospital. So that I wouldn't take that as a given. I wouldn't think that, you know, deaths are just, you know, a thing of the past.
Especially with, hospitalizations might be low, but there's still staffing issues,
right?
You know, at the hospital, they're affected just like any other organization is.
And, you know, that's something I've certainly seen reading some of the national headlines, is that that chicken has not come home to roost just yet, in that, you know, people are getting routine healthcare stuff delayed, which results in poor health outcomes. It results in more money spent down the line. It's pretty problematic. I mean, when the health system isn't, I mean, we've essentially had like 2 years of hospitals. I think our hospital has provided a lot of their services as per usual outside of, you know, some of the COVID peak times, but in some of like the big city hospitals around the country, I mean, they've essentially been unable to provide service as typical.
Yeah.
That actually kind of touches on a good segue, Dylan, to another story I did, which was about population.
I love that story. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And that actually got picked up by the state too. It obviously was about the fact that Alaska's population saw a slight increase for the first time in, I think, 4 years. And one of the things that the state demographer mentioned when he was talking about that was so interesting was that a few different things, you know, influx of military personnel in particular impacted that number. The fact that nationwide less people moved during the pandemic, another big reason. But one piece of data that he said that they really can't put their finger on that was so interesting was they had this uptick in deaths. And part of that was COVID numbers, of course, and another part of that was just general aging, that, you know, there's more people getting into their 60s and later than maybe previously, but they really couldn't attribute the uptick in deaths at this point based on the data they had. And one of the hypotheses was that perhaps it was that less people were going in for preventative care.
Yep, right.
We don't have the data, of course, to confirm that, but kind of based, I thought that was kind of an interesting piece of information there.
I'm actually going to do while we're still on the subject of COVID and before we deviate from it, I'm kind of going to do a mid-show plug here. I believe we have another episode of The Lowdown that we're going to be doing live tomorrow.
Yeah.
So folks can submit their questions to Jared, please. What is the email again?
I think it's just lowdown@kmxt.org.
Yeah. Send us your questions. We've got a whole bunch of doctors and public health folks coming in. So yeah, we'll be happy to ask them whatever you might like us to.
It's great getting listener questions for...
Yes, the best.
For that show. okay, let's see. Where are we at? All right, we're still good. We're still good on time. Other stories. How about some stories that maybe we didn't generate here in our newsroom, but important news stories, either statewide or national, that came up over the past few weeks, past month?
So as somebody who is still getting acclimated to news coverage in the state of Alaska, I find fisheries really intriguing and something I'll be learning a lot more about, specifically kelp. I think that's something that you'll probably hear from me, more stories coming out about that in the future. Yeah, and, you know, environment stories, I'm always drawn to that. I think, you know, we talked a little bit about weather. I did this Christmas bird count story recently. I think environment, anywhere you go, is fascinating, and especially when you live in a beautiful place, it's a really easy entry to generate questions about what's around you. And I know that, you know, that's always anywhere. Alaska obviously has a lot of great environmental reporting.
Another sort of story and shout out combo here, Lainey Welch retiring from Fish Radio. Shout out, Lainey. have fun with all of your...
And Sage Smiley out in Dillingham did a great profile of Lainey that we have on the website. And Lainey got started here at KMXT so long ago, so... And you've all met Lainey. You've all had the experience of meeting and talking with Lainey.
Yes.
And just
the depth of knowledge that goes with that. So that was a big story. I thought I had, local one story I want to get your kind of take on this. I think, Kirsten, you did a story on this, but is the APV issue.
Yes.
That's kind of just starting. It's the you know, yes. It hasn't resolved itself yet, but...
Yeah, and it's interesting. So... long story short, the story I did was basically that January 1st marked the beginning of when you could register your all-purpose vehicle. It doesn't mean that January 1st you could, you know, hop off the sidewalk and go ride it around town, and that there were rules to riding your all-purpose vehicle in Kodiak. This was everywhere in the state, but particularly for Kodiak. Obviously, my story was specific to Kodiak, but throughout the state, you have to drive it like a car. You know, it has to have working taillights, headlights, turn signals, has to be registered. But yeah, the city is kind of mulling limiting use of APVs within city limits. I know a few other municipalities have done that as well. And yeah, I think that's pretty interesting. I've seen a couple like ATV side by sides kind of riding around since January 1st. So yeah, and I think if you know, I know some things have been pushed back with all the COVID cancellations for meetings, but I believe City Council was planning on taking that up as far as limiting use, having a first reading of an ordinance to limit use within city limits January 13th, which is Thursday. Is that right? Yeah. Today's the 11th.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
I mean, I run that through my head.
This month is just zooming.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're in the COVID time warp. That's what it is.
Yes. Definitely.
Yes. It appears that the 13th is indeed.
Yeah.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. this is the most important thing I'll report today.
The date.
Yes.
What about you, Dylan? Other stuff?
Oh, you know, I'm gonna plug this in here just because I had such a good time doing it. But Father Innocent came on for an Talk of the Rock episode last week, I believe, to talk about Russian Christmas. That was a super interesting discussion. As we were joking on that show, I have a whole lot of like Christmas spirit, and I'm very excited to talk about Christmas any time of year. so that was a great show. Yeah, I can't wait to get started here on another year of Talk of the Rock episodes. I've had a lot of fun doing them, and I think the conversations have been very interesting. Yeah.
Well, let's look down the road a little bit. You two had a very very nice discussion with Senator Gary Stevens and Speaker Louise Stutz a couple of weeks ago, and we kind of got a peek on what's coming down the pike and a lot of the news things that will be affecting us. So as you look towards the next month or so, 4 to 6 weeks, I guess. What do you see coming? Things you might be excited about covering?
The legislature is going to start up, and that is going to be a completely different tempo from the coverage that we've done lately. That is sort of a mile a minute story. Stories tend to become outdated over a course of months. In those times, they become outdated in 72 hours. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of work, a lot of things are going on. It's definitely very interesting, and we'll see what happens, because certainly, like, I mean, if you go back to last year, I don't know if, you know, anybody would have guessed that series of like legislative sessions would end with the showdown between the governor and Louise Stutz over the PFD. And of course, those issues, as far as the governor says, are very much not resolved in his book, and they'll probably be going to bat again to some degree. So it'll be interesting to see that happen, if it does. Who knows? I mean, it's a legislative session. You don't know what's going to occur.
Well, based on the pre-filed bills, the PFD is still there. It's back.
It's back.
Not done yet. What about you, Kirsten? What are you saying?
Yeah, I mean, yesterday we were already passing around a sheet of proposed legislation, legislative session. I think we were all kind of pointing out ones that we were interested to see where they do or don't go. Mm-hmm. So that will definitely be interesting. And then the ferry service, you know, that's something we had just talked to Speaker Stutz about that when she was, and Senator Stevens as well. We had talked to both of them about ferry service. And we've already kind of seen some news come out with that, with the Kennecott delays. So that will be something that we'll be following, and I'm already, you know, working on reporting on. So I'm sure that will be something that will continue to be of interest to everybody.
Yeah, the fairy just seems about as dynamic a state news issue as any other right now. I mean, it is good news that they are going, or you know, it appears as if there is like serious work being done in as far as like replacing the Tustamina. Mm-hmm. But with that said, there are still so many ferries that are in, you know, pretty sorry states as far as the maintenance goes, and in order to keep them running, it's just a lot of work and money is being poured into mm-hmm. that. Perhaps the only big change I've seen in that is that the conversation surrounding privatization seems to have tapered off a bit with the ferry system. Mm-hmm. That seems to be less in the discussion, but mm-hmm. who knows?
Well, it helps to get $1 billion or nearly $1 billion from the federal government to stave off privatization.
Well, that's so interesting too. Like the infrastructure money, they mm-hmm. you know, both of them spoke about that when they were on the show, and I think that's going to be something we'll continue to have discussions with in our newsroom. I mean, all the airports on Kodiak, I believe, are getting at least some money from mm-hmm. infrastructure spending just in the first year. We're going to continue to see money come out of that. Alaska, I know, is one of the states that's getting a lot of money. So,
contrary to popular belief, it's actually incredibly difficult to spend $1 billion.
Right. Yeah. No, it's even $100 million, you know, it really is. And I think, Alaska made out like gangbusters with that infrastructure bill. For sure. So I think that's what I would, not just for the next month, but for the next year, to see how the infrastructure is going, what it's going to do here in town.
I mean, just airports alone, I think Alaska was like number 8 or number 9 of funding for airports that are states that are receiving money for their airports from the infrastructure spending bill. And that's just airports. So, I think there's going to be a lot of things that we will continue to see coming out of the infrastructure bill, not just this year, but in the years to come.
Yeah, and I mean, who knows? I mean, there may be more money to spend being tacked on top of that. There may not be. Who knows? The interest rate at the federal level may change. So,
right. Oh gosh, now we're getting into money, and that's
No,
so abstract.
We've passed money and gone into economics.
Yes.
And to quote an economist friend of mine, the understanding of economics is only slightly better than that of voodoo.
I believe it. Well, we got the 1 minute signal. We got 1 minute left. So, what would you like to leave the readers with? Give us a little peek behind the curtain, being a journalist in Kodiak.
Yeah. Well.
In the times of COVID.
Sure. We're hard at work. We're trying to keep stories that are relevant to our listenership and things that will inform first and secondly entertain our listening public. And I look forward to serving this community for the next year.
Yeah, I would have to echo that sentiment. I think as a journalist, community service is first and foremost. And you know, being part of a local news organization means a lot. So we're working really hard, and hopefully people continue to tune in.
If I may add a really mm-hmm. tiny addendum, if you have a question or something that you feel is being underreported on, please feel free to reach out. Mm-hmm. Our, 907-486-3181, that's the station number.
Or email news@kmxt.org.
Yep.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, thank you so much.
Well, thanks for coming in on this news roundup. I enjoy these episodes. I think they're fun, and I think our listeners enjoy them too. To kind of understand what you're doing, how you do it, and help us understand the news and media a little bit better, and the press. We say the media, but the
meet
press.
Meet the press.
We are the press.
Yes. Well, thanks for joining us on Talk of the Rock. I've been your host, Jerry Griffin. Thanks to Dylan Samard and Kirsten Dobroth for joining us. Good luck in your work.
Thank you.
Thank you.